Luke chapter 5. The message tonight is Peter's personal charge from Christ to mind your business. Peter's personal charge from Christ to mind your business. I want to read three scriptures. All of them have to do with the subject. Starting at Luke 5. Notice in each passage there was a charge, a responsibility placed upon him, and there are five in all, so listen to them. Luke chapter 5, a miraculous graft of fishes has just been taken, and all involved are amazed at what has happened, and our Savior says in verse 9, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Notice, he said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Now, chapter 22. Verse 31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And do thou, when once thou art converted, when you turned again, establish thy brethren." Now John chapter 21. Verse 15. "So when they had broken their fast, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He saith unto him, Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Shepherd my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the scriptures that you have preserved for us in your word. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. And we are thankful that as thy Spirit inspired them who wrote it, he is able to enable us to understand it and to make it a blessing to your people. And that is what we pray for tonight, our God, that they shall be blessed, that they shall understand about Peter's peculiar charge to mind their business. And so help us to understand, to see who we are and what we are and what is expected of us, so that we'll be better men and women of God. Let us know our sins, we confess them, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What kind of person do you want minding your business, telling you how to live, what you should do, and what you should not do? You probably say, I do not want anybody telling me those things. But I've just read you tonight 5 things that our Savior told Simon to tell different ones what to do, how to behave, how to act. And it's such a strange thing that he would say all of these things, give all of these charges to Simon. I'm thinking of people of God who have some to stand before them, and when the person does stand before them, they all shake their head and say, that man is a hypocrite. Who wants to listen to him? But they still stand up and speak. And some have no gift, and they stand up and they speak. And some have no understanding of the scriptures, and they stand up and speak. But only certain kinds do you want to tell you how to live your life. And one of the last persons I could choose would be Peter. Because if I ask you this, do you want anybody who is a liar, who is profane, who would take God's name in vain, who would deny he ever knew the Lord Jesus? Would you want him to stand up here and tell you how to live your life? You say no. Well, Peter is the man that did all those things. And what is remarkable is that every time we see Peter getting a charge, he's done something wrong. He is being restored. And yet this man that is always at fault, as soon as Christ speaks to him, even in his fault, he gives him a charge and tells him to mind the business of the people of God. Think now, first of all, after he had met our Savior in John 1, our Savior is going to call him to be one of his permanent followers. And he uses his boat. This is so lovely that he says to Simon, may I use your boat? There are too many people here, they're crowding me, and I need to be out in the boat so I can speak to them more effectively. And Peter says yes. And when he gets through, he's going to pay Peter for using his boat. And so he says, put out into the deep and let down for a draft. And Peter, being a professional fisherman, says, we've toiled all night long and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down the net, expecting when they let it down to bring it up and then turn to the Lord and say, I told you so. But they let down the net and engulf a great multitude of fishes and need assistance to bring all those fishes to land. And when Peter sees that, he falls down at Jesus' knees and says this, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Think of that. He's confessing that he's a sinful man. And our Savior says to this sinful man, fear not. So evidently, even those who are sinful when they come to Christ, the Lord Jesus is the one who is able to remove their sins and give them a charge to tell other men how to be saved. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And the Savior says, fear not. From now on, you're going to catch men. This is the first charge to Simon. I want you to be a soul winner. I want you to catch men. That is his first responsibility. Remember that. Because when the Savior gives him the charge at first, it's not for anything about the people of God, because he has just been commissioned and he tells him, I want you to be a soul winner. This is the first charge that the Savior gives to Simon. If you're a soul winner, you're minding other people's business. You go to them and tell them, do you know that you are a sinner? And do you know that no sinner is able to enter God's heaven? And do you know that you're going to church and being baptized and all your good works will never get you to heaven? And so often, when you tell a worldling that, in a nice way, they say, mind your own business. Well, if they ever tell you that, tell them, I am minding my own business. Because our Savior said, from now on, you're going to catch men. And this is the first charge that was given to Simon Peter. The first thing he told him was, you are to be a soul winner. You've been an expert at catching fish, but from now on, I want you to use your expertise to catch men. The next time he gives a charge to Peter is in Matthew 16. I told you about that, so I will combine it with what we have in Luke chapter 22. And in Luke chapter 22, our Savior knows in advance what Satan is about to do with the lives of the people of God. Unless the Lord had told Peter, he would have known nothing about it. It's the same way in the book of Job. You and I read Job 1 and 2, and we see Job on earth knowing nothing as to what has gone on in heaven. But you and I know that before Job falls into the hands of Satan, it has gone through the throne of God. He asks permission to tempt Job, and he receives that permission, and God tells him how far he can go. You go no more than this. But Job knows nothing about it. Now, would it be an encouragement to you if, when temptations overwhelm you, you knew that God in heaven understood about those temptations, and he has already told Satan not to pressure you more than you can bear? You say it would be a great consolation, and you realize this, that Paul tells us, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Do you realize that what happened in the case of Job happens in the case of every one of us when any temptation comes into our life? In the case of Peter, unlike Job, he tells Peter what has happened. He says, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And Peter made no mention of that. But our Savior knew in advance the strategy of Satan, and he knew that he would overpower Peter, that Peter would fail but that the faith that was Peter's by the revelation from God. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven, that living God-given faith would not be destroyed. And so the Lord tells him that. He says, Satan hath desired to have you. He has obtained you by asking that he may sift you as wheat. Peter thought there was no chaff to him at all. But he said, Satan will show you what you are. And God quite often allows him to do that. He allowed Job to see what he was personally. And he allows Peter to understand what he is personally. And so he sifts us as wheat. And I'm wondering if you would allow God to sift you as wheat, how much chaff there would be on the ground and how much wheat there would be in the sieve. Peter thought that he was all wheat, but he was mostly chaff. But even though his faith was reduced, because faith can increase and faith can decrease, it could not fail. Will you understand that? That the faith that you have, you would never have that faith unless no man can come to me except the Father who sent me. Draw him. God will draw you. And then you place your faith in Christ. And once that faith has been placed in Christ, nothing can destroy it. Because there is a man at God's right hand who ever liveth to make intercession for you. And he knows in advance what Satan wants to do to you. And he knows whether you're going to be successful or whether you're going to fail. And in this case, Peter was going to fail. But he said, I pray for you that your faith fail not. Now this is the marvel. He said, and when you are converted, I want you to strengthen your brethren. I'm thinking this, that any man who had been associated with me, if he were to blaspheme, if he were to curse, if he were to swear that he did not even know who I was, I would not want that man anymore in my services. I would want him to do nothing for me. But the Savior said, you're going to deny me three times before cock crow twice, but when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Remarkable. The first time he sees him, Peter says, I am a sinner. He says, I understand. I can take care of that sin, but I'm going to make you a fishers of men. And here, Peter is boasting that he would never deny Christ. And the Lord tells him, Satan is going to sift you and reduce you to nothing. But I pray for you that your faith fail not, and even though you are going to deny me three times, when you are converted, I want you to strengthen your brethren. So think now, we have two categories. Here is the world of sinners, and what is the responsibility of Simon? You are to catch those sinners. You are to win their souls. You are to bring them into the kingdom of God. And that's what Peter began to do. He was permitted to do that from the first. Do you realize if you were saved yesterday, you can be a soul winner today? I can say this, that when I trusted Christ as Savior, as soon as the morning light arose, I saw a friend of mine, and I confessed faith in Christ, and immediately I started witnessing for the Savior. I could say this, there's ever so much I do not know about him, but I know this, he has saved my soul, and this is the way he did it, and he can save your soul. And alas, I was more energetic in my ignorance in my youth than I am now with what I know about the Word of God. I can remember riding in a car with influential people and just waiting for an opening. And when anything was mentioned and I could bring in the name of Christ and salvation, I would do it. and that was when I was just a babe in Christ. So if you were saved yesterday, you can start catching living fish, living human beings, tomorrow. God empowers us to do that. You have the ability to reproduce. You have the message of salvation. And so this is what he tells Peter at the very first. But after that, there was a responsibility not to the world, but to the family of God. Listen to what he says. He says, and when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. That has nothing to do with the world. This is the family of God. And now it's not Peter, a soul winner, but it is Peter as a servant of God, given the charge to strengthen his brethren. And this is the marvel. Why would he give him that charge when he's going to so miserably fail the Lord? But that's when he gives that charge. Let's look at John 21 and think again. Before he gives the charge in Luke 22, there is something that has to take place. He says, I want you to strengthen your brethren, but it's not as at first when he says, I am a sinful man, O Lord, and the Lord makes no conditions, but he says, from now on you're going to catch men. No conditions. But in Luke chapter 22, he says, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Now, if I looked into your heart and knew the life you lived in the past, I would know that you had sinned. I would know that you had fallen short of the glory of God. I've known no Christian who has lived a perfect life. I've heard some say that they have, but when they say that they have done that, they make God a liar. But here is Peter, and the Savior says, you're going to miserably fail me, but I'm still going to use you, and this is most important. He says, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. Remember that. If you have sinned against God, he doesn't want you to open your mouth until you are converted. And I'm thinking this. If I had opened my mouth as Peter did, so blasphemously, denying that I ever knew the Lord Jesus, I do not know if I would have courage or boldness to ever speak his name again. And yet the Savior tells him to, after he is converted. I'm so glad that Peter asked a question on one occasion. He said this in Matthew 18. He said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, until seven times? And the Savior said, I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times 7. And then he speaks this excellent parable about forgiveness. And so he has heard the Lord talk about forgiveness, unlimited forgiveness. And now in Luke 22, that question that Peter asked about forgiveness, the Lord is applying it in his case. Thank God for that. How many times did you sin since you confessed Christ as Savior? Do you understand that every time you have sinned, you should have confessed that sin? And if you have, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm thinking, in my over 60 years as a Christian, have I committed sins and confessed them 490 times, maybe 1,000 times? God knows. But the Savior says, till 7 times? No, till 70 times 7, unlimited. Permission to go into the presence of God and confess your sins and be forgiven? And is the Savior going to tell a sinner a pattern to follow and not follow it himself? And for that reason, he tells Peter, he says, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Do you realize this, that until you are converted, after you've been converted, that you are to say nothing to the family of God? I've been saved one time. I've been converted hundreds of times. Because the word converted here simply means an about face. The first time you are converted, it's like this. Paul writes to the Thessalonians and he says, you turned to God from idols. You were looking in this direction, but you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. That was your first conversion. But then the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And yet at times we have loved the world. We have done things that God has told us not to do. But then when we are converted, when we turn again, God does not save our souls, but God restores our souls. The first time we are converted, we do an about face. God, as God, forgives our sins and we become His child. After that, it is never a sinner in relation to God, but it's a child in relation to his Father. And when God forgives my sins, when I confess them now, it is not for salvation, it is for restoration. And that restoration is limitless. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is what he says to Peter. He says, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I suppose the only people I've ever heard preaching to me who have strengthened me are those who have sinned and have been converted and been restored to God. And therefore, I'm not afraid to listen to you. If a man like Paul preached to me, I would be afraid of that man. Because he said, herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and man. In his whole life, he never had a bad conscience. And when he did something terribly wrong, he said, I did it in ignorance, in unbelief. But that man was above reproach. And after he trusted Christ as Savior, the only fault that you can lay against him is perhaps a fault of loving so much that in spite of what he should not have done, because Agabus and those that have the Spirit of God, they told him what not to do. But he said, what are you doing breaking my heart? I'm ready to die for the Lord. And so any sin that Paul committed after he was first converted, it was a sin of love. I'm thinking of Samson in the Old Testament. Any sin that Samson committed was a sin of lust. But in the case of Paul, it was a sin of love. And so when I saw him standing before me, I would listen respectfully to everything he said. Why? Because he was a man above reproach. Peter, I would listen to him, and I could sympathize with him, because I would see that he was a man who had gone through life boasting that he would die for the Lord, and he was not even prepared to confess the Lord as his Savior. But if I had known this, and I do know this, if after he had so miserably failed the Lord, I knew that this brother had gone out and wept bitterly, had a broken heart in the presence of God. And then he came back and stood before me and preached. I could accept that man's ministry. Couldn't you? And that's what it says. It says that when he denied the Lord the third time, it says the Lord turned and looked at him. And it paralyzed Peter. It made him so miserable that he went out, and it says that this bold, strong fisherman wept bitterly. And so that was the beginning of his conversion. And then I told you, and this is the only thing that I can tell you, and it's uncertain. In Luke chapter 24, it mentions a secret meeting of Christ with Peter. It simply tells us there, when Cleopas and his companion come back and they're talking about the appearance of the Lord, they tell them that the Lord has appeared to Peter. We do not know when, how, what transpired. But if there ever were any rebuke, if there were ever any showing Peter how miserable he had failed him, it was then. Because all that I've read about him afterwards is nothing like that at all. And so perhaps after that secret interview, that's why we are able to have that interview in John chapter 21. And the Lord restores his soul this way. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter would not tell him he did. He simply said, I love you. And then, Simon, son of John, do you love me nobly? And Peter would not tell him that. He said, I love you. And finally, when the Lord, and I'm taking these words, they may be right or wrong, I'm taking it in this sense of fondness, affection. He said, do you love me that way, Peter? And Peter said, yes, because he understood that Christ had taken three steps down. And finally, when he got to the bottom, he said, do you love me this way, Peter? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And the Savior accepted those brief words of Peter. And every time the Lord rebuked him, and Peter knew what was going on, he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He gives him a commission. He says, then feed my lambs. The second time, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said, then shepherd my sheep. The third time, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said, then feed my sheep. Then that's a fivefold charge that Christ is given to Peter. He tells him, first of all, go out and catch men. That is as an evangelist. But after that, it is the family of God. But then it is Peter as a shepherd among Christ's flock. Do you love me? Then feed my lambs. And shepherd my sheep and feed my sheep. And so we looked at in different ways. We looked at as the family of God. We looked at as the flock of God. We looked at as sinners. And we have a responsibility to every creature of God. This is what it says about the ministry that God has given me. An evangelist is one who seeks to catch men alive. But Paul tells us what a teacher, a prophet is. He says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for nobody hears him. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. Edification.